The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And let us thank Matthias Angala with the twilight. And yeah, it's that time of the morning where we discuss economic affairs. Before that, let us look at Imba in Afrikaans.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, it's the 22nd of October 2025, and we are moving toward the end of October, and eventually toward the end of the year. And it's always very important to make sure that you thank yourself. Thank yourself that you have been pushing. You've been continue pushing. And you know, we're just in January celebrating the beginning of the year. We're very happy about the inauguration of our president. And now we are already speaking about midterm budget review. And we're also making plans for December. December is coming. And yeah, it's quite very important also to look at what have we done? What have we done? Where are we standing? And where are we going? And today, you know, like we're always advising everybody and also advising ourselves also to say, you must be strong and, let us not be, distracted by small things. Let us not be distracted by small things because, life will throw you everything, but this is how you react on it. And also sometimes you don't need your day to be ruined by just an insult, just somebody shout at you or just, things did not go well, actually. Things did not go well, or somebody did not pick up your phone, and your day is ruined. Let us also be strong and look ahead based on that. Yeah. Starting from global affairs, it's quite. Let us see. Let us start with Cameroon. So we understand that there was. Elections going on in Cameroon, especially between various political parties against the long-standing President Paul Biya. It was stated that 8 days after Cameroon presidential election, the National Vote Counting Commission released provisional results pointing victory to the incumbent President Paul Biya, and stated that the 92-year-old leader. Who has been in power for more than 40 years or more than 41 years is leading in Cameroon elections. And according to the numbers, seems like the people of Cameroon, they still want their leader to rule them. And looking at that note, it's quite important to look at that news. Say 42 years in power and the age of 92, at the eighth term, that is Africa for us, and also do not underestimate also, let us look at what are the Cameroonians saying, and also what is the future of African politics looking like, and moving forward, who is going to, and what will happen in the next, or the eighth term. In Cameroon, but that is a news that we need to look at, and just to analyze and also give views, especially looking at African politics, and is it really the president who is in power, or there is somebody also who is running the state. Is it really him who is in power? And what are the new changes that you are going to bring? Because somebody may always want to ask a question to say, 42 years in power, what other new changes that you are going to bring? What other new changes that you are going to bring? Maybe is somebody may also think with a different view. Is it experience? Is it, you realize that you are going to change? Because election campaign, when I was looking at, the election campaign in Cameroon, you also be able to see that points are very clear of, what the interest of the people, and like many other area, many other countries where somebody have to stand up and point out what need to be done. Especially, Paul Biya indicated that he is going to prioritize young people, going to prioritize economic growth, he's going to prioritize also, employment, and also economic stability. Those are some of his words, especially during the campaign before elections. And let us look at this news in Cameroon, and looking forward.
8 days after Cameroon's presidential election, the National Vote Counting Commission released provisional results pointing to the victory of incumbent President Paul Biya. The commission said Biya arrived first with over 53% of the votes in front of his main opponent Issa Tchiruma Bakary at 35%. But these preliminary results are already disputed in the country. Opposition candidate Issa Tchiruma has been claiming victory for the past week. On Sunday night, he started releasing his own tally, which placed him in first place with about 60% of the votes. Tchiruma has called official figures inaccurate and called for greater transparency. The controversy has stirred tensions in Cameroon. Demonstrations erupted across the country in recent days, with some protesters accusing authorities of electoral fraud. In several major cities, protests ended in clashes with security forces. The Constitutional Council should publish official results by October 26. If validated, the outcome would see Paul Biya extend his 42-year rule at the helm of Cameroon. At 92 years old, Biya is already one of the longest-serving leaders in Africa.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially that side of Cameroon. It's Paul Biya in terms of provisional, election results. It's already beyond, 53%. It's already beyond 53%. And, people have already started, they have started, disputing the election's results. But if you declare somebody, fit for elections, why are you against the results? It's one thing to look at, why against the result? What is really happening? How independent is the commission? And is this what the people want? And it's quite interesting to look. Especially like this year, elections in Africa, and also the previous year, have been one of the most interesting, events in democracy. Because when you also look at Uganda, you also look at Uganda. Stated that, when you look at Uganda, they are also preparing for elections, and the Electoral Commission stated that they have set the date, that is for 15 January, for, country's general elections. And you'll be able also to see that General Yoweri Museveni indicated that he want to lead for one more time, to make sure that, he solve some of the challenges that, his countries are facing. And he's up against, the long-term, activist in Ugandan politics, the musician turned lawyer, Bobi Wine. And, we are yet to see, especially when it's coming to power in Africa. And also, what are some of the new changes that will be brought about? And also, it's the choice of the people. It's the choice of the people. Say democracy is the government of the people. and by the people, for the people, these people who are choosing their leader. And let us look at this news. And yeah, let us look at Uganda and elections.
Uganda is bracing up for presidential and parliamentary elections, which comes up on Thursday, January 14. The vote pits President Yoweri Museveni, one of Africa's longest-serving leaders, against a host of opposition candidates and parties, including singer-turned-MP Bobi Wine. In Kampala, banners and posters of candidates can be found almost everywhere you turn, and what to expect in the polls is the talk of the town.
The one we could think that could win, according to the situation we are in now, could be Bobi Wine.
We are very poor, our money has no value. So, at least I think that when we get change, and when we get a new president, I think that president will make a change in our money and get value. Everybody will be able to get the needs.
Some 18 million voters are registered for the ballot. Citing coronavirus concerns, the Election Commission has since suspended campaigning in Kampala, which is an opposition stronghold.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening, especially looking at, Uganda. Looking at Uganda. And we are here to see. We are here to see how the results going to be. And it's a country of prominent people. It's to see which side is Anne Kansime and Ticham Pamele when it comes to election and also the candidates. But it's also a matter of asking a question. It's a matter of asking a question. Is changes why? Why, the politics of Africa is always like this? Why Africa is failing also to meet its need? Because, in fact, one thing that we must come to terms with is not the head of state has power. However, is a willingness of people who are supporting that president, and it's a willingness of that workforce that is running the administration to solve the problems of the people, because the president cannot be everywhere. You may remove Museveni, you may remove Bia, but if you keep same people, same mentality, same governance, policies, well, there is nothing that is actually going to change, because what is telling you the politics of Africa is quite very interesting, because look at what happened in Malawi. Look at what happened in Malawi when the citizens decided to say, no, Professor, we are taking you home. We are putting Dr. Chakwera to lead us. Just after 5 years, they say, no, please, Professor, come back. We cannot tolerate this because things are not changing. But you look at the currency. The currency, and you must also be able to look at not only the currency but the basic needs of the African people. And the other thing that you need to look at, you also need to look at how is the strength of that finance, how is that country doing its trade, and what is the majority of the population going through, because as we are going to speak today about mid-year budget review, especially trying to look at the basic simplification of what was communicated yesterday, looking at the global projection in Africa, stated that although Sub-Saharan Africa is going to grow economically 2025-2026, it's only some countries, especially Nigeria, and others who have, economic power, and they improve in their trade of oil and also other sectors. But is this going to continue as it has been? And while we are there, seems like Madagascar, something else there, was stated that the leader of Generation Z in Madagascar has expressed anger and disappointment after the new colonel, Michael Radrianina, appointed a businessman, Herinistrama Rajanarivero, as a nation prime minister. Stated that the Generation Z leader is expressing his anger and indicated that they were not consulted. And remember, that what's happening now in Madagascar, the military took over. And, you know, due to the force of the Generation Z, especially looking at the renewing of services, they are stating that they are not happy. And it's a question of also asking to say just 1 week in power, and there is already unhappiness, especially with Generation Z, which actually is a main shareholder in the government, in the new government, due to their, you know, their power of influence, and indicating that you are not happy with the new prime minister appointed by the colonel. It also says a lot about, you know, the fragility of Madagascar politics, and also to see how is this going to be for in the longer term. Because remember, when the country become, you know, tolerant of coup, to become the order of the day, and you know, it's not going to be, you know, sustainable moving forward. Let us look at this news, and we come back at home, especially to look at the conversation for today. And also to see moving forward, where are we standing, and how are things going. So let us look at Madagascar, then we move forward.
Economic Gen Z protesters in Madagascar expressed anger and disappointment after the country's new leader appointed a prime minister. New President Colonel Michael Randrianirina named businessman Erin Salama Rajaonarivelo as the nation's head of government on Monday. Rajaonarivelo is a well-known figure in the Malagasy economic and financial ecosystem. In a statement, leaders of Madagascar's Gen Z protest movement disapproved this choice and expressed worry at a decision they said was made without dialogue. Youth leaders argued this nomination runs contrary to the spirit of change and renewal demanded by the people over weeks of demonstrations in the streets. Protests erupted across Madagascar in September over water and power shortages. The movement evolved into a broader protest that forced out former President Andry Rajoelina. Colonel Michael Randrianirina took power in a military coup last week and was sworn in as president on Friday. Gen Z leaders have asked to know how and why Rajaonarivelo was selected and have vowed to keep mobilizing.
The Generation Z in Madagascar, they are saying that is not who they want, and they're asking why they were not consulted, and why the Prime Minister was appointed without dialogue. It's also interesting to see, because talking to a military colonel like that, I don't think, you know, it will end well when I look at it from my perspective, because, you know, when the military government took over, is because of the situation, it's because of the chaotic situation, and I don't think a time for consultation, and with military experience, I do not think, those with military experience have understood civilian leadership, and in that sector, we see how the cooperation between, the Generation Z and also the new government going to be. Because at the end of the day, if you see everything, you are given what you want, and decided to say you don't want that anymore, then you end up not wanting anything. And also to look at SADC to say, why we are busy fighting each other? How can we work together? Can we work together and also stand on our own? And also, improving the situation at home and the situation of an ordinary person, because in most cases, when you look at conflict zone situation, in most cases, in Africa, it's quite different compared to other countries. Other countries, we look at the Middle East, people are fighting based on religions, based on, you know, deeper ethnicity, religions, ideology, alliance, you know, trades of oil and others. But in Africa, in most cases, it's bread and butter issue. It's bread and butter issue. Just to say, please connect my water. Please connect my electricity. Please, we are not eating. Please, there is no food. You know, please, there are no, you know, basic needs. Please, the health sector is deteriorating. Just look at that. Look at, do your own research and look at the relationship between food insecurity, civil unrest, the relationship between corruption, civil unrest, the relationship between, you know, deterioration of public infrastructure and civil unrest. And also look at the mineral rich nations and also, you know, what is happening in that sector. Because looking at African ambitions and the practicality of things, you may end up also realizing that, you know, there's still a lot that needs to be done. There's still a lot that needs to be done, especially when it's coming to African peace, stability, and also economic growth. When are we going to get time for economic growth? So let us look at the commercial break, then we can come back with today's conversation. However, you can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. And remember, today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, and the Villager newspaper is out like any other day of the week, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Villager newspaper is out, and make sure that you get time and opportunity to read and expand your knowledge, and also look deep on economic affairs and also governance. That's why we are going to look at what is in the Villager newspaper before we go to our main conversation for today, which we are going to try and simplify and also try to understand, to say, when we talk about national budget midterm review, what do we mean? What is the aim of the midterm review? And also, what are the key highlights? Where are we standing as a country? Where are we standing in the globe? What are some of the key projects which were stated? And also try and also find the answer. And because when you are reading this, when you also compare the speech of the minister yesterday, we are also not forgetting and also try to link between what was politically communicated, the ambition of the nation, and also what has been done. And one may also be interested also to ask questions to say, in the State of National Address of this year, when our head of state indicated that when it's coming to the elders must wait, especially when it's coming to social grants, they must wait a little bit because the president is focusing on addressing the youth issues and, you know, the issue of addition of social grant will be dealt with in the midterm financial year. But so we are yet to see, and also compared to say in terms of the financial communication, and also in terms of where we are standing as a country, where is that communication? Is it coming out? And also, what is the difference between the current mid-year budget review with the previous mid-year budget review, that is 2024-2025 financial year? And also, what is unique about this mid-year budget review? And also to look at the relationship between financial prudence and also national development, because for those of you who understand a difficult situation, you may be able to understand that in some situation you find yourself, especially, I don't want only to say especially as we grow up in the village, but you find yourself in a situation where you, even yourself, you understand that at home there is nothing, You are eating every day, and you are eating every day, but you understand that I think this month we are not well, Katurimana, and it's almost end of the year, but you are eating, then you also understand that through hardship, parents also understood financial prudence. They understood that we are cutting on the budget of some of unnecessary things. There's not going to be Christmas today. Instead of eating a goat on Christmas, we are going to eat a chicken. Instead of us buying new clothes for Christmas, we are going to prioritize clothes for school, which is going to be at the beginning of January. And that is cutting through to say what is a priority, what is important, what can keep me surviving, and how can I negotiate with the children. Instead of giving you Christmas gifts, I'm going to buy you school bags, and which is long term, and which is also going to have a long term outcome. That is the same with the country, to say yes, this is what we promise, this is where we are, this is what we do. And that's why when you get the time and read at the midterm budget review, you'll be able also to see the aspect of financial reallocations, to say this is what I've planned, but due to the situation on the ground, I don't think you need more money now. We are going to give it to priority areas. And also to look at our ambitions too, because like we indicated, to say our priorities, our ambitions, our problems are still remaining. No matter what's happening around the world, our problems will not go away unless we find a way to deal with them, because references have been referenced, especially external economic shocks, but that does not mean that we do not have our own problems. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we move forward.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and as I indicated, today we are going to look at the relationship between financial prudence and also national development, to see what are those things that we have spoke about, especially at the beginning of the year, and also we are also going to look at what is What is that our Minister of Finance has stated yesterday, where are we standing economically, and also, you know, in terms of the world, where are we going, and what are the key priorities, because the very important thing, especially looking at what was communicated yesterday, and also update of the country, where the country is standing, the reality on the ground. And if you read that this speech, and it's a well-written speech, and it's also having numbers. But when we go deep and read that numbers with time, when you also connect the words which were communicated, we'll be able also to see the real meaning of that communication. There's reality in it, and there's also, you know, a prediction, and also a reporting back of what have happened. But when you read through, and you are reading through the lines, you also understand that where you find a diplomatic language, read there very careful, and also see that what does that really mean, especially in the words of finance. And like I indicated yesterday, when we are reading, or when you are comparing the mid-year budget review statement, you must also look at the Bank of Namibia borrowing strategy, which was developed by Bank of Namibia in order to support the budget. On top of that, it's also important to look at, you know, what was communicated the year before, especially at this juncture where we are. And maybe you can also take the speech of the president at SONA. They'll be able to compare, to say what is communicated, where are we standing. And I want it to be very clear also to understand that also, in reading that statement, make sure also that you also understand what is happening around the world, and also your ambitions, because this is how we should position ourselves. How we should also position ourselves, and also see how things are being done, particularly from the government level, because the first aim, and it was stated in the midterm budget review, the aim of the midterm budget review is to find opportunities, and also improve resource allocations, and also taking stocks of what was allocated, where are the ripples, and where are the progress. And looking at these documents of 17 pages, we are going to look at key issues. Shortly, we are going to look at global perspective. We are coming to domestic. Then we are compare what the previous budget review was like. And we are also going to look at the highlight of issues, to say, compared to last year, where are we standing? Compared to last year, where are we standing? And also, how money is being spent. And you also maybe be interested, especially those of us who want to go to school, so be interested also to look at free education. Is a free education coming out at this budget review? Because one of my concern that they've always been there is free education proposal, and also the issue of social grants. But free education, we are going to get it today, and to see it is coming out. It's coming out, but the issue of our grannies, I think, is yet to be well articulated moving forward. Because it was stated. The midterm expenditure framework, which is titled Beyond 35 for a Prosperous Future, started with a background, especially from economic outlook, to state that where the world is standing now, There's an estimation of economic growth to decrease. The economy of the whole world is decreasing from 3.3% in 2024 to 3.2% in 2025. And also in 2026, it's going to 3.1%. This is indicating to you that the whole world is being shaken by what is happening globally. And on that note, from that perspective, is the aspect of, you know, economic declining from the global perspective. Now, it is stated that the advanced economy, they are going to expand with 1.5%. That is the first world. And looking at the developing market, it's going to, you know, to grow with 4%. Now, our interest here is sub-Saharan Africa. The interest here is sub-Saharan Africa. And it came out very clearly to say, when we were speaking about sub-Saharan Africa, you can say it's a whole continent of Africa when we speak about sub-Saharan Africa. To look at that, you have an estimation of 4.1% in 2025, and it's also there's also going to be a pickup in 2026 with 4.4% economic growth. What does this mean? This means that through the revision and also prediction, the midterm budget review is indicating that economies of countries such as Nigeria, they are expected to grow with 3.9% and 4.2%. That is between 2025 and 2026. And looking at Nigeria, where Nigeria is being positioned, we must also ask ourselves to say, how can we grow during challenges? What can we learn from Nigeria? You understand that one of the major contributors of Nigerian economy is oil, because they have upped their game. And look at the Dangote refinery, which is also entering the market of the United States of America. You will be able also to see that, Nigeria is leading and is expected to expand. And we also need to look at countries such as Ivory Coast, which they are expanding, especially with cocoa production, and also Ghana after, you know, not so well, you know, when it's coming to the economy. Now, what is the IMF indicators are saying? According to the Minister of Finance, in October 2025, IMF project public debts exceed 100% of the GDP. Public debts exceeding 100% of the GDP by 2029, because the countries are continue to be in debt, and by 2029. Many of the countries who exceed 100% public debts in comparison to their GDP. And there's also a risk scenario pushing it to 124% government. Okay, so with this, it's also the advice from the top to say, government, come up with strategic approach. Focus on efficiency rather than increasing the budget. And when IMF is giving this directive, it's not only giving to any other person, it's giving to everybody to say the advice is that focus on, focus on efficiency. Don't just increase the budget, but focus on efficiency. And redirect funds toward education and also infrastructure, which can foster sustainable growth. Those are the advice. Those are the advice of, IMF, especially to governments. Now, let us come to Namibia. How are we doing? How are we doing as a country? It is stated that going forward, the economy of Namibia is expected to slow down to 3.3%. And I want to read this very slowly so that you can be able to catch up and also see where we are standing. Because do not just clap hands when the speeches have been given, numbers are being spoken. But let us look at why are we not growing. Stated that the economic growth is expected to slow down to 3.3% in 2025 and compared to initial estimate of 4.5% in 2025-2026 main budget. Because remember, there is a difference between the reality and also the projection, because the issue of the economy is the unpredictability. You can prepare for it, but not 100%. Initially, it was predicted to say Namibia economy was going to grow to 4.5% in the main budget of 2025-2026, that is the initial budget. But now, how things are stated that it's going to slow down to 3.3% in 2025. And the reasons are being given, and also looking at that, stated that maybe what we need to look at, not to read everything, is that the primary industry estimated to grow to 2.5% relatively to 1.8% in 2024. And this is supported by the uranium mining and other mining and quarry sectors. Now, looking at this, maybe it's also where we have to expand ourselves to say, when we are speaking about economic growth, when you are speaking about the economy is slowing down, when you are speaking about the industries which have been supporting Namibia budget, what have we done to those industries to make sure that they are stronger? What have we done to those industries to make sure that they are stronger and can withstand the challenges of time? What have we done to that aspect? Now, I do not want to dwell on BO and the repo rate. I want to look at how the budget is simplified and also how the assessment is being done. Now, the minister made a very important comment yesterday, when she indicated that during the mid-year fiscal assessment, because the minister had top executives, Bank of Namibia, economic advisors, and also supporting staff, a number of them, they have to come and also look at how is the Namibian economy doing, how much are we bringing in the coffer, where are we standing now. It is stated that the revenue out then reached 36% billion. Reached 36.9 billion, which is constituting 40% of total budget. That is estimates by end of 2025. It stated that the money collected in the mid-year fiscal assessment for 2025-2026 is at 36.6 billion. Now, this is money collected either through NAMRA, it's money collected to support, the budget. Now, the minister stated that although this money of 36.6 billion seems like very important, seems like a huge amount, this money collected in this juncture is, in terms of revenue correction, is showing a slowdown or a fall of 10% point below performance seen in comparison to 2024-2025. In simple terms, it means that the money collected in revenue, or the money collected by government to support the national budget during this period of mid-term budget review, is low with 10% compared to how where we stood in last year or last financial year, to say on that. Now, that is also one of the areas that you need to look at when you are questioning, and when you are also looking at what could be the problem moving forward. Now what I find interesting, and I think this should also be encouraged, is the difference between the mid-year budget review of Meme Erika Shafuda of Namibia this financial year, and compared to last year, especially when it's coming to report of direct projects and progress. So, let's get to commercial break.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and today we are looking at the budget review, especially analyzing the communication from the finance minister, that is Meme Erika Shafuda, especially looking at where are we in terms of financial prudence, where are we in terms of being careful, being economic, while not forgetting our problems at home. And also, while addressing the issues at home, and are we in line with what we have communicated? And we also, after this conversation, going to look at shortly on what the president has said, especially beforehand, and also what is being presented, and also where we are meeting. Now, what I indicated is that the difference between the current, the current midterm review policy statement, and also the previous one, is that there is a progress report, especially when it's coming to ongoing project within this, communication. Now, I was happy to see this, but I also have questions also to say, in the reporting, especially looking at agriculture, water, and the red reform ministry, and also the progress of green scheme, especially when it's coming to food production. I wanted to see the comparative analysis, because when we speak about the midterm budget review, we look at the data of the previous financial year and data of the current financial year. Like, for example, when the minister spoke about the current revenue correction is in shortfall of 10% in comparison to last year revenue correction during the midterm review. When I'm looking at these projects presented, but let us look at this one and also maybe come up with a question to say, in comparison to what, where were they standing in the last financial year? Now, the minister indicated that the Minister of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform intensified the effort to scale up production across national green schemes, targeting 80% rain utilization during 2025 summer crop season. The scheme are instrumental in reducing hunger, improving household nutrition, and strengthening national self-sufficient. Now, what was produced in Etunda? The statement indicated that when it comes to maize, 3,600 tons Etunda is a green scheme in Umsati region. It's one of the green schemes in Namibia in Umsati region. It stated that 3,600 tons of maize was harvested from 450 hectares. There is also wheat, which is at 480 tons, potato 600 tons, onion 660 tons from 15 hectares. Now the question is that what was produced in the previous financial year, because progress can only be measured in comparison to what was standing. What if this is to somebody who do not have data? What if this was a reduction? But it's a very good thing that this report actually of what is happening. Now look at the Secondo Green Scheme in Kavango West. It was stated that the wheat yield achieved 6 tons per hectare from 120 hectares harvested in October. Summer plan 2020, 300 hectares. Summer 2025 plan, 300 hectares scheduled for diversified crop production. Now to me, this is not... yes, it's a report, but it's not progress. And I want us to read this very well. Say, if you speak about wheat yield achieved 6 tons per hectare from 120 hectares harvested in October, why can't we just write a plain language like when we stated to say 600 or 660 tons of onions were harvested from 15 hectares? Just a question also. Then, yeah, like this one, Dongarinena scheme, green scheme, maize production is 4,320 tons from 480 hectares, wheat 2,520 tons from 420 hectares. This is good progress, but in comparison to what? Now, the question also we need to ask here is that you have Etunda, you have Secondo, you have Dongarinena. What about other green schemes? What happened there? Do they have records or there's no records yet? Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm well.
You guys must stop just talking about economics and stuff, man.
Come again?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You must tell that to why.
Yeah.
He's probably listening to Nata.
What are you saying?
You guys are just talking about numbers and the money and the economics and the agriculture, things that are non-existent in our system now, in the hands of a few.
Okay, what is your opinion? We should start talking about it.
There is a certain warning coming from someone.
Well, come again?
A warning coming from somewhere. And this, I think, affects everything.
Okay.
From a socio-political angle.
Okay.
That the Minister of Environment is warning people about, against people sharing. Those AI generated videos of the Prime Minister, the Minister of Education, among others. But whose problem is that? It's the government's problem. It's the African system problem. Why do we embrace AI when we are not having the capacity to control? Because people are communicating.
Yeah.
Whether it's agriculture, whether it's economics, politics.
Yeah.
Now you see, Steenkamp is talking, Murari is talking, who is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it affects our certain industry or not.
Mm.
That voice is listened to already, miscommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that we are embracing too much what we cannot handle.
So you have said we must take a slow pace when it's coming to AI, or we must learn it first.
Don't go to the fourth industrial revolution when you're not finished with the third.
Oh, the second. No, you're making sense.
Yeah.
You don't
know what you know.
No. You are not the first one to bring that debate. Is to say, why can't we understand the basic first before we move?
That is the thing.
Why? Okay, continue.
No. I mean, bro, that was my center. Yeah, we are embracing so much what we don't know.
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't even know whether that is the way they are using their system. Whether
with
an automatic car or with manual car, and you'll be able to do everything. Whether I'm driving a manual or automatic car, does it matter?
No, it's a good question that should be answered by not only me, but by everybody.
No.
Yeah.
Those are the simple things. So we can't
do it. You know, I agree with you somehow, especially when you speak about why are we moving
too fast.
Because that is a conversation that was brought about, because now people are speaking about financial technology, they are speaking about digital money. Why 70% of Namibians do not even have access to that? But now you find certain people...
Okay. I've worked in East Africa, my brother, Kenya, Tanzania. The economy there is different. The way people do things there is different. It's not like how we do things here.
Are we copying too much, or we want to reach where the first world is? What do you think?
In America, they still have checks. In America.
Yeah.
But the World Bank and the IMF is telling us we must do away with checks because they are encouraging fraud. Are they not encouraging fraud in America? They have checks where you write and sign off the check. Write fraud and check whether it's a real check. But here in Africa, because we go and borrow from them, they have those things.
Maybe they think we are not capable of using checks.
We have been maybe over capable.
Because you know there is one guy who was presenting at the financial technology event. They say no. Apparently he was an economist. Then he was an accountant. Then he decided to venture into tech. But he stated that when you are an accountant and you are creative, you end up in jail. You know the meaning of that.
My brother, I'm telling you. It's when you know, ne?
Yeah.
Just as much as you said. It's the same as being like right now myself.
Yeah.
I can easily become a traditional healer or a priest.
But which field were you working?
Education and politics and business. So, meaning that you can eventually just study PTs up on the manga.
Yeah.
And study. I actually know three quarter of the Bible. France knows.
Yeah, but they are saying. But
I can do better in terms of campaigning. Because I mean, political issues are seasonal, but church in Namibians are very addicted to that one. I can easily become a prophet now.
Look, just hold on 1 second, eh? We're going to a commercial break. Just hold on.
Yeah.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, where were we?
No, yeah. Where we were is just that, you know,
yeah.
Us as a nation,
yeah,
we must start looking inward.
Yeah,
and then do things very seriously.
Yeah, I like your point that you mentioned earlier, especially when you spoke about us moving too fast, because other countries are speaking about going to the moon. We still did not address the hunger issue. Then you want to speak about other things. But how do we find the balance between not to be too behind, but addressing our issue while we are also keeping up with what's happening around the world?
The thing is, we must have a national identity of issues. You must know your problems. You cannot, you know, it's like, You know you cannot keep buying tasty rice. But there are other type of brands of rice. As you know, your payslip can afford. Yeah. Instead of doing everything that comes with, I mean, I can't afford the Ford Ranger. Because my neighbor is having one. Just because we went to the same school, you are having a house in our street. I must move from Katutura to Korea.
You have a lot of problems that you need to deal with.
The rate and taxes there would defeat what I can afford. So all those issues, we must know who could are. What we are adapting and adopting. You look at what happened with the Nampost now, in the Pupa.
I hear you.
There was no transitional transaction.
We are too creative.
The moment we heard Luvindao saying, no, we need the direct procurement in Tatea Ofiko. That doctor has been mentioning this thing for a long time when he was Minister of Health. I jumped quickly from the Pupa. Instead of saying, the Pupa, it doesn't mean that we don't want you anymore completely.
Yeah.
Can we keep you on the fleet management for now? And then, while we are handing over the contract to Nampost, as much as we don't want you, we still need you. We don't want you, but we need you.
Capacity.
Transition. Yes.
It's
when you are beginning a new relationship. You don't fire your current girlfriend. You touch it with a new one, small.
You are transforming.
Yeah. you are misgiving. Not the same one.
Okay.
Transitional period.
Okay. Thank you. Who are we talking to?
Contractor.
Who?
Donata,
Donata, thank you. Okay.
That is Tonata Ngombe. It's quite a very interesting observation. To say too much changes and too much creativity can be good in the long run, but can also be disruptive if it's not handled very well. Can be very disruptive, and it's absolutely correct to say, why can't we deal with our basic needs first? The world is not going anywhere, but it also does not mean that we should not keep up with the world. But too much innovation that we do not understand can also bring us problems. Because we want to be, Namibia is also having this, but are the people of Namibia really enjoying those? I do not have a problem with EID and, these electronic things. But I have a problem with moving toward fast technological innovation with the way the world is going, where the issue of basic needs such as, food, water, and just human security is not well taken care of. Why can't we invest in that? Because we need to make sure that now who is going to use that technology? Because remember, out of all these things that we are dealing with, there is a problem which come with technology, such as now AI is good, but AI can also be manipulated, and also we have seen people in parliament, they are also complaining to say, no, that is not me who is in that video. But how do we handle this issue? How should I convince somebody who is at the village that do not give a certain minister that this is not a certain minister speaking about this issue? Who still do not understand what the difference between AI and basic computing? There's an open book of cyber crime. Money is being lost every day in Africa due to cyber crime. But we are speaking about let us use this complicated financial technological app, which is quite good. However, I agree with Mr. Ngombe, especially to say, let's deal with the basic, and also let us not just transform without taking steps. Let us not transform without taking steps. I gave an issue of NAMPOST. My colleague, Anakreta Haikera, wrote something, especially from the Kavango side, where an elder also was frustrated, just fell on the floor, frustrated by, this new innovation, which is not productive. People are hungry, they want their money and buy their food. But with your system, things were not, transformation was not really done. But it's something that we really need to look at, because sometimes we end up having beautiful infrastructure, but no one is using them. We end up having better system and competing with the whole world, but really people are still struggling with the basics. We are speaking about the 4th, 5th, 6th industrial revolution, where we are at 2. How can we progress at an understandable pace without really not being too backward, like the basic needs? Now, let's come back to the conversation of, the mid-year budget review. I want, there was something which was mentioned, especially when it's coming to health infrastructure development, upgrading and renovation of Onanjokwe Hospital. I stated to be at 85%, but my interest here is upgrading and renovation of Katurenta Medical Hospital is ongoing, and the installation of oxygen generation system is in progress. Now, is ongoing at what percentage? Because Katutura Hospital is one of the bigger hospitals in Namibia, which is accommodating a lot of people, but a vague language in economics also need to be. Maybe we are going to see to say at what progress. Now there is very interesting part here. Construction of Commerce District Hospital. the 500-bed Commerce District Hospital in Havana constituency. It's not Havana constituency. Havana is not a constituency. Yeah, but we know where Havana is. But the Commerce 500-bed Commerce District Hospital in Havana constituency, in Commerce region, which will form a key part of national health care, it is stated to date to be at 40% progress completion. And I want somebody who is at that side of Havana, and I think I need to take time and go there today and also see the progress of that hospital, if it's really at 40% progress or how. But it's yet to see. But let's take the caller and move forward.
Hello?
Yes, Shelby.
Yes, how are you?
Good. You want to go away?
I want to go at the Havana hospital. In
There's Czech. Nothing happening.
Apparently, it's groundwork.
There is nothing, nothing.
What is...
Don't waste your time to go there.
No, I want to go and check.
That was election ploy.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, but what is mentioned here is that access to road, water infrastructure, electricity service will commence in July. But there is nothing, like nothing.
I don't know. You guys, you don't, you are not on social media, né?
No, we are.
Oh, okay, what I'm telling you is that there is nothing happening.
Oh, okay, now, what is your input, though?
Perhaps, maybe they have laid the ground now,
yeah.
But the hospital itself, there is nothing, it's only grass that is there.
Okay.
I can even go there right now if I want to. What I wanted to say, our budget, it went down.
Yeah.
With what? With about is it 3.1% or so, which is 3.2 billion. You know, we I don't know whether our leaders understand. That the pillar of the economy, if you have to mention one of the most important aspects, is the labor sector.
Yeah.
Now, we have a labor sector that is completely detached from the central government. Why do I say so? I'm actually saying it does not contribute. We have a mushrooming or a lot of labor brokers in this country, of which have told a lot of peoples made our liberationals peoples to flee out of this country and fight for that. And yet when they come back, they are still using the same system.
On the same table.
Exactly. So you have about 50% of the labor that does not come to play, which is completely detached. You have factories and all these retailers and big companies
yeah.
that are employing people on a contract basis.
Yeah.
Renewed in 4 to 5 months. So what does the law says? When somebody is working on a contract basis, then you are not equivalent to pay tax. You see? And what is tax?
It's contribution to what? To government.
That is, it's government revenue collection.
Yeah.
You see? So this is the things that Amshelo was actually saying. Fighting, and people are looking at him and saying, nah, he's perhaps maybe naive, or he's just power hungry, or something like that. And I have made it clear to most people that, look, it's not only those people that are actually suffering. It is also the government, because the government need to generate money from those people in order to avail services. And this is one of the factors. You are running a government which is actually completely run on the system of capitalist.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And this is where the problem is. So when you have people that works in the mine,
yeah,
and they are working on the contract basis, even that person is getting about 15 to 20, that person is not going to pay tax.
Yeah.
Because some of those months comes even in the form of commissions. How are you going to take tax from there? And a lot of money ends up in the hand of the individuals, those that own those worker brokers. You see? And that is where the problem is. If we can fix the labor industry to be completely connected to the government, whereby we say, look, you cannot have a company, say, for instance, like Coca-Cola is working for having a casual for 5 years or 10 years. That's impossible. That's a big company. You cannot have a company like Pukeves that is having a casual for how big is that company? What is the turnovers of those companies? It's impossible. But those companies are actually now practicing those kind of works, labor contracts. Those things must stop. People have been crying, you must stop. How are you going to grow a budget if you do not take any? We have investors who comes in this country, like the Rani's group. Who are they using? The labor brokers. Those are investors. Do you see the impact? These are the questions that we always post. Do you see the impact? You will find that the receiving back at the shop, whereby when the products are being brought in by trucks, the one that is actually is receiving or driving the forklift is an Indian. How did he get that?
I think that is a powerful observation. How come you start, you even driving a truck here?
They are tracking.
Yeah.
They are driving forklift. They are working in the shop as supervisor.
Yeah.
You see? That they are receiving. These are the Indians and the Chinese.
I hear you.
Yeah. How many employees does these people have? They have close to 200 and something. And all those people, they don't pay tax, but they are investors. And most of those companies are also tax exemptions, let me say, yeah. Tax exemptions.
Yeah.
And they invade tax also. You see, this is the problem that we are actually having.
Because you are speaking like one analyst who say money running out of the country is much higher than we can imagine because we cannot track them.
Well, it's not me who said that when it comes to the Chinese and the Indians. Because I've been following these things. I understand very well.
Now, tell me, let us look at where we are. When you look at, for example, Minister of Finance, no, she spoke diplomatic language, but she also indicating that the economy is not doing well. But where are you rating her, and what do you think need to be done, and where do you think is done right? Let's look at it from there. We know there's a lot of faults.
This is where I'm saying, if you can fix the labor industry.
Okay, now number one is labor.
This one is the one that needs to be fixed first.
Okay.
Close all the loopholes that is there.
Okay.
Compile each and everybody to pay taxes.
Okay.
Neither an employer or employees. Those that qualify must pay.
Okay.
We cannot have people working for 5 to 10 years as casuals. It can never, you can't run a country like that.
Okay.
It's impossible.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other problems, these companies that are actually being tax exemptions, and we don't even go there and see their financial report, the yearly financial report, to see how these companies are performing.
Yeah.
Do we do that? I don't know. The other problem that we are actually having, there was something that Mr. Karis Latvins was actually fighting when he was a Minister of Finance. He has reported that the big reinsurance company that insures these small companies, these companies here, they are not small, but they are also big, but they are being insured also by other companies in Europe. Those companies, they take about $35 billion a year in this country, untaxed. Those who listen and follow Mr. Karis Latvins took these companies. He wanted these people to pay taxes. And then they took him to court and he lost. And then he came back with a bill and tabled it in the parliament. Yeah. And he was removed. And until today, those who followed, they step on this one.
I think it's a quite... it's quite
why? Yeah.
For
you see?
Yeah.
Eh? Why? Why do we have companies actually taking money out of these countries and they are not paying tax? Because if you call Mr. You can, I think he doesn't have a problem. If you call him one day in the radio, so then he will tell you about that.
Yeah, he's
and I think this is one of the reasons why he was removed from the Minister of Finances to Minister of Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
The one that was appointed just sit on that one. He did not, no one mentions that anymore. Uh-huh. You see, this is the problem. And then we have problems, and then we have again problems of people who are actually hold natural resources like mining sectors,
yeah.
and then fishing. Mm. People that are, that can actually come up with something like a factory or something, so that they can actually employ people and pay taxes, and then the government can generate money from there in terms of tax collections. They don't do that. Let me tell you, there are people with fishing quota.
Mm.
Eh?
Mm.
Somebody who already have 30 million or 25 million in his pocket.
Yeah.
Coming clear, he doesn't sweat, he doesn't do anything. That person does not see the need of setting up a factory and start putting an added value to those products. Because they sell their shares to the Chinese and the Indians go and sell the fish in DRC, Zambia, they're tracking with their own trucks, and at the end of the day we are crying. Our budget have a deficit. Yes! How can you not have a deficit? I mean, the way of economy is actually being run here in Namibia sometimes is worrisome.
Now, I want to ask a question because, you know, when you look at, for example, we have this view of, politicians to save us, but when somebody is outside, when you are outside here, you are a good analyst. You know how things are, and we like that. But when I give you an opportunity, I give you an opportunity to go to parliament, for example. What happened between that transition? Because people, what they speak about outside and what they speak about when they are inside is not the same. It's not the same language. What really happened there?
This is when we were actually mentioning these things. This is where we were actually asking and say, look, we have given you 2/3 majority for several times.
Yeah.
You were supposed to actually change these things.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm.
I have mentioned to you so many times that when you are under this system is the is the one that is closing the gate, I think, sometimes, because even when you have a minister that is actually fighting to say at least we can get 3 or 4% or from those billions that are leaving the countries,
yeah,
and then he was mentioned and it seems somebody sit on that one. What do you think about that?
Is the system not run by people? How can I'm also not really understanding it very well, because
I have scratched my ear until I came to conclusion and say the main contributing factors of the failures is the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Changing,
it is the system.
Changing it, Botswana is fighting.
But we can make policies like he was actually making and say, look, why do these people work out with this kind of money untaxed? And then he comes back to they went to court, they won, they said it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And then he came with the bill to make it constitutional.
Yeah.
And then he was removed before that. Now, what do you think? Now, you are actually left there in limbo to think for yourself and come to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come the other president, come the minister, come the other president, come the minister. Still, that is not actually being pursued. So what is the problem?
I think we need a real... not really to say to continue
we,
the economic...
We have... You remember the issue of ShopRite?
Yeah, I remember very
well. Of which the Joban Pandas and the others have there has been a demonstrations whereby these people were actually asking for what? For benefit or increasement.
Yeah.
And then they went out on the street to go and demonstrate, and then the ShopRite went to their suppliers, the brokers then, and bring, while the others are in the street.
They bring another one.
They bring other people to work.
I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They went to court and then they won, and then ShopRite was punished. What did ShopRite do? The ShopRite went to I think Supreme Court.
To review.
And then it was overturned. So now if you actually look at in a context the way it is, it seems as if workers have got no right here in Namibia. So employers can actually do whatever they want to do. You see, this is the problem.
Yeah.
And then it's actually deemed as if a verdict is passed by the Supreme Court or the Supreme Court, which one is the highest court?
We only have a Supreme, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That verdict passed by that court is undisputable. You don't dispute it.
It's a law.
Unless if the parliament comes up with another law that overturns that. You can't appeal, you can't do anything. They win there. You see?
Yeah, I hear you.
I think the one of the minister or so in the 90s, they went also to court to abolish that labor hire. It was abolished. The Supreme Court again. You see? You just see that.
But okay, now.
The labor law says, the act or the labor law says a person can only work for a company for 3 months. While that person is working for 3 months in the company, that person is on promotions. After 3 months, it's up to the company to decide whether they will take that person as a permanent work, or if they are not satisfied with the performance of that person, then can let that person go and bring somebody else.
Now, I want to ask, especially when a lot of things end up at the Supreme Court, and there is this thing of when we are doing check and balance, could it be that there is no stronger organ of the state that can hold judiciary accountable? Because when we are looking at South Africa, for example, with their flaws, the judiciary is also be held accountable to say, if you are appointing judges, let us go and interview them in public. If you commit a certain commission which is being brought. But in Namibia, it's rare to see a judge being
disciplined. I think as we have a JSC or whatever that thing is, but what is the name of that?
Judicial Service Commission.
Yeah. But does it really have power?
But I don't see...
Because one of these things that really affect the societies, and it's only the majorities that benefit, and they are the one with power to go there with monies and have that overturn. They need a commissioner like that commissioner of Zondo in South Africa, or a commissioner of an integrities whereby something like a referendum can take place, where people can vote and say, do you people want to work for over a contract basis? You see, there's these things that one can work as a casual, so offloading things that works there, that only comes. But every day, for 10 years, you are working for a contract basis. That is an exploitation. Okay. I think this is where we were actually proposing and saying, look, when we as the electorators vote, we give our power to those people. But when they come with the decisions that only suit them and disadvantage us, we don't have that powers anymore to go and ask, why are you doing that? Yeah. Or either to object.
I want your opinion, just in three minutes, I want your opinion, especially in issues of accountability. I've always been concerned, especially with our constituency and the local authority leaders, to say, how do we create a real conversation with politicians to say, for example, somebody want to run for the second term, there are already things that you have promised me, But how do we monitor, we evaluate the progress of politicians, especially local and regional authority? I want your opinion on that.
Yeah, but you know how this government is actually set up.
Okay, just hold on for two seconds.
Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is a participatory event. The essence of democracy is in your participation. Therefore, make sure that you participate by electing your representatives in the regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Democracy starts with you. Preserve it by getting involved. Go vote. Your vote is your voice.
2 minutes accountability.
You know, this is also one problem. That one thing that had myself scratching my head.
Yeah.
You have regional councillor.
Yeah.
You have constituencies councillor.
Mm.
Now, constituencies councillors don't have a budget.
Yeah.
Of their own.
Yeah.
It's just an office that is there.
Yeah.
You are actually wondering what is he doing there.
Mm.
Because somebody who could not even say, look, I need these schools to be connected to electricity.
Mm.
He has to go to the main regional council officer.
Mm.
And then those that run the main regional councillors,
mm-hmm.
some of them are not politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They are technocrats.
And they have more power.
And they have more power than this.
Mm.
So it have you scratch your head and say, why do we have regional councillors then? Why do we have this building here?
So we just need administrators.
We
just need administrators.
But what is happening in that office?
It's a good question. It's a good question, especially when you look at somebody campaigning to say, I'm going to bring you this. But honestly,
they are just white pastors.
But my brother, we have 30 seconds. Let us conclude. We're not finished today. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Yeah.
All right. It's quite interesting conversation, especially when it's coming to economic matters, when it's coming to development matters. Because today we are looking at midterm, budget review, and different callers give their opinions to say we need to do much, especially when it's coming to our economic growth, and one of the things which, was spoken is that, the economy is run by, the system is too capitalist. It's too capitalist. And it's not as it has been indicated, because when you look at defined economic policy, it's supposed to be a mixed economy. However, get where things are standing. And you mentioned a very important thing, especially of insurance, company. I want you to understand one thing, especially when it's coming to insurance. How many Namibians own insurance companies, 100%, either it's short-term or long-term insurance companies? And I was speaking to somebody who we come to the conclusion to say, when you look at an institution like Namfisa, for example, which contain around 70% of non-banking financial assets, where you have where we have your regulations of long-term, short term insurance companies, which hold chunks of funds, and the only link between an ordinary Namibian and Namfisa is when you have a discussion of micro-lenders, which constitute around not more than 3% of the whole
you know, juncture which is being controlled. And where are these insurance companies? With much respect in that regard, is also to say that when it's coming to the numbers in the Namibian economy, numbers are there, but who own the card? Who own the card? And with phase one, with a midterm budget review, with this part of Havana constituency or Commerce District Hospital, I stated that when it's coming to phase one, it's 40% progress completion, and this phase is on track for completion by December 2025. It's up to us to go and also check to say what is being spoken about. Is it really what is on the ground? There's also construction of Ketman Shop VTC, which is 99% complete. And I want to come to the point of financial reallocation, especially when it comes to education. Because the minister indicated that when it comes to education, or when it's coming to other sector, there is prioritization and also reprioritization, where it was indicated that, as the caller has indicated, to say the shortfall in the revenue is at 3.2 billion. That is the shortfall. Hello?
Good morning, sir.
Morning, how are you?
Well, thank you, how are you?
I'm good. We have 2 minutes to give you a
point.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, no problem. So let me just take a minute and a half.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm very happy with the budget, the midterm budget review.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's to help you to realign more.
Yeah.
And do away with the mismatch that those discrepancies.
Mm.
So, like she said, that I think last time when you were talking about the relaxation of the recruitment for this period and things like that,
yeah,
because the operational budget there is so much constrained. So when it comes to operational budget, and also to make sure that this expenditure,
yeah,
effectively aligned, in alignment with the public expenditure. I mean, with the Namibia, the NDP six now that we are dealing with, and all those pillars, like you were mentioning them, social aspects, the infrastructures, and all these other things. Because if we create misalignment and ineffective coordination of these resources, so we duplicate our efforts. And the priority that she's mentioning about, the priority, make sure that we prioritize the issue of correcting revenues. Because most of the time, in time past, money was just going. And people were just complaining about the tax and tax. Some incentives in terms of upscaling those small businesses and many other people are still complaining about. But we forget about our discipline, financial discipline, how to manage these resources that are very limited. The prioritization of collecting revenues, and most especially those, I'm concluding, those on state enterprise, all these things. We seriously need to diversify. There are so many economic activities that can be diversified, especially those diamonds who are no longer making profits. Thank you very much, my brother.
Thank you.
God bless.
Yeah. The good thing about Uncle Obana, it's very positive. It's always positive. And it's very good to be positive, especially in a time of crisis, because at the end of the day, positivity is a very strong contribution to how things are being done. But positivity without practicality can also be a bit of a challenge. But it's a very good thing to have, and also pressing, especially re-strategizing, reprioritizing, and all those, plans to safeguard Namibian economy. I was actually having a question to say. As much as we look at the uniqueness of this report, especially looking at the progress of some agriculture projects, there is only reported of Etunda in Umsati region, Sikondo in Kavango West, and Dongarinena in Kavango East. The question is that what about others, green schemes? I remember one day at Parliament where the Prime Minister gave a presentation, and he stated something like, these green schemes are almost 100% operational. What about others? Are they bringing some results? Those who are at the various green schemes, please try to check to say what is the progress there, and why are they not mentioned here? We only have Etunda, Sikondo green scheme, and Dongarinena. Are they producing but not at at a recorded level, or they are still at the different phases? Because food security matters. Food security matters because you have more than 10 green schemes, and I only have 3 which are reported to have progressed. And let us also update each other and give each other records to say what is happening at the other green schemes, or they were not included here just because of time, but it's something that need to be looked at. Well, we have only 4 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Maybe something that we need to look at before we come to the end of our conversation is a prioritization. It was stated that the amount of 814 million is proposed for consideration to the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture, which 663 million is catered for registration fee and tuition fee of first quarter of January to March 2026. This is what I wanted to say. 663 million is allocated for registration and also tuition fees. Know that education is free, and this is one of one thing which is coming out, especially when it's coming to education. Education is free at the university level because money is be reconsidered for allocation, especially in the first quarter of next year, 2026. If you want to do a degree anyway, we will be able to realize that in Namibia, at the university level, registration is covered, and also your tuition fee. But something that we need to be looked at. And also, 151 million for recruitment of 665 teachers. That is money allocated to recruitment of teachers, 665. And also, 185 million was added to Ministry of Health and Social Services for recruitment of 1,537 health professionals, and 61 million for contingency, and additional 50 to the president to cater for personal expenditure related to goods, services, oil, gas unit, security equipment, and many others. But I wanted to check on social grant. It's not yet coming out here. Maybe it's a discussion of another day. But dear listeners, thank you very much for continue listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, this Eagle FM. However, make sure that when it's coming to the Villager newspaper for today, if you want to get more analysis, especially on economic matters in Namibia, make sure that you download, the Villager newspaper. And just to look in short, look on top of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to see the Minister of Finance and also some of the analysis, particularly during the midterm budget review. Then and you just go and beneath, you'll be able also to see the application to University of Namibia. Application to University of Namibia, which is still ongoing until the 31st of October. And also look at the article by Kolika Nakelta Ikerade, especially when Mr. Sankwasa giving directive and instruction to say, I want water in Rundu. I want to address the issue of water shortage in Rundu, and also people to have access to water. Go and read that article. And also this article by Dwight Links there, this Namibia could venture into space science, talk about astronomy. Go into that and read it. And I also have IMF to avail zero interest loans for African climate resilience preparations. This money to avail zero interest loans to Africans. And also ask yourself, what is a zero interest loan? Why is it a loan with zero interest? Is it a loan or a grant? Look at that. And also, I saw an article on economy of road infrastructure, economic growth. There's an article there by Kanjoka Nkwanyoka and Sokozani Saulosi. Get time and read at the Villager newspaper. So it's on a page on IUM, the National University of Management. This by Stefanos Pombiri. IUM changing lives and developing human capital for Namibia socio-economic growth. Get to that. And yeah, USAID has said, read the Villager newspaper and buy food, top score. There is chicken there and many other groceries that you can buy. And do not forget. But yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. Mike, the mic is yours. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now.